Well, good morning, church. You're awake. That's good. Well, you'll be getting your puzzle piece, and I want you to hang on to that. I'm gonna talk about it throughout the service, and I want you to be reminded about some things that you can take that home with you. I guess I should put a little warning on the back of them. This is not to be eaten, so this is a choking hazard. I know we have to do that all the time now. So it's a choking hazard. Keep them away from little kids or your spouse. Just hang on to that. So as a church, we've been really seeking God the last few months about where is he leading us and what is he doing in our church. And he's bringing us back to our priorities as a church. And he's led us into these four priority prayers. And so last week, we looked at this idea of loving each other deeply and understanding that our relationship with God is really connected with our relationship with other people. We can't say that we love God and yet not love our brothers and sisters. And if we have broken relationships with others, we really have a broken relationship with God because they're that connected to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind and love each other as well. It goes together. So we looked at that. And so we're going to continue a little bit on that same theme of being connected to each other. And yet we're moving to this prayer that's focused on this other priority. And our other priority as a church is delighting ourselves in the Lord through worship. And so our prayer today is that, Father, that you would draw everyone at a crossroads into a joyful life, and that it results in daily acts of sacrificial love and giving and service. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in this idea of worship and giving ourselves to God as he draws us into a joyful life. And so what does that look like? Because if we're calling on God and we're praying out to him, that these are the things that we're expecting you to do in our midst, and we're expecting to draw people to yourself, and we're expecting to connect us in loving relationships with others, and you're calling us into worship, then that's going to have ramifications for our lives. We can't expect God to show up and stay the same. You know, Jesus never encountered anybody and had that person walk away the same. And so I believe that as we call upon God, that he automatically expects us to transform into more of his image. So we're going to talk about that today. Let's pray to that end. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are active and alive God, that you have a plan, that you are at work in our community and all around the world and in all time. You know where you're going and you know what needs to be accomplished. Heavenly Father, as we try to open our eyes to see what you see, would you help us today see our peace? May we see our life and how it fits in what you're trying to do all around the world. That's very hard for us because we don't have your eyes. So I pray today, would you give us a little glimpse of what you can do through us? In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Well, growing up in the church, you know, I got asked a lot, you know, would you like to be a pastor like your dad? And my immediate response was no. I was very, very scared of what that would look like to live in a life where God could just do whatever he wanted with you. I had a lot of fear of that. I mean, we had missionaries come and they talk about how they live and where they live and how they have to eat and what they have to eat. And it was really freaky. And I thought, you know what? If I say yes to God, then he's going to take me somewhere kicking and screaming that where I don't want to go, and he's going to ask me things to do that I don't want to do, and I'm just going to be miserable for the rest of my life. Because when I look at this and these prayers of, you know, that he would call us into sacrificial love and sacrificial giving and sacrificial service, it doesn't really stir up that other part, which is bringing us into a joyful life. They seem to be opposed in our society of what we believe is if we sacrifice, if we surrender to something, then we're getting taken advantage of. And therefore, it can't really be joyful, can it? And unfortunately, as well, our society has kind of seen churches for a long time as not really known as the joyful places. I'm thankful Crossroads really isn't that way. But we have a society that looks at following Jesus does not mean joyful. It means stern and grumpy and complaining. It's unfortunate. That's why I'm happy to be part of Crossroads. I think that's a fear, though, for a lot of us, is that what if? Okay, what if I get serious? What if God, what if I say, fine, I give you my life into sacrificial giving and sacrificial loving and sacrificial service? What are you going to do to me? What does that look like? And some of us are very afraid of that, so we hold back and we don't take that step. We're going to look at a passage in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, starting verse 1, says this: everything exists, so that's everything, okay? Everything around you exists by his power and is intended for his glory. That alone is just an amazing statement. We could stop there. We won't, but we can't stop there. That means you exist for his glory. That's why you exist. That's why everything around you exists. Everything you see exists. So it says, so dear brothers and sisters, since you exist for his glory, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Saying you're created, you are made for his glory. And so present yourself as a living being, as a sacrifice to him. Surrender yourself to him. This is what worship is. Sometimes we get a little bit confused and we think worship is what happens here Sunday morning, and we go to worship or we sing worship songs. And so worship gets really tied into singing or musical instruments and that kind of thing. And I just want to blow that apart today a little bit. I want you to understand that your life and all the compartments of it, I know we tend to compartmentalize our life, all of it was created to bring glory to God and begin to use as worship. As you work, as you use your mind, as you use your skills, as you use your abilities in your hands, and as you have a sense of humor, all the things that God has given to you are worship when they're given to him for his glory. And so, you know, I think about my kids, and you know, they don't have to be telling me how great of a dad I am for me to be enjoying them. Sometimes they don't do anything. In fact, sometimes I enjoy them a lot more when they're doing nothing like sleeping. I just really enjoy them. And just they're breathing, and I just can look at them, and they're bringing me pleasure. And I think sometimes it's like that with God. It's just your existence. Just going for a walk, and as he watches you, and as he watches you enjoy his creation, as he watches you interact with kids, as he watches you do what you're so good at, as he watches you problem solve at work, as he watches you serve people and talk to people and encourage, as he watches you, if you live your life for him and surrender all those things to him, it just brings him glory in worship. And so as believers, we present our entire lives, every little part of it, and we lay it before him and say, I want this to be pleasing to you. I want it to bring glory to you. So the heart of worship then is this idea of surrendering your life as it is. We talked about last week how you're all messed up. You're not normal people. We know that. We figured it out eventually. You know, you hang around with you long enough and eventually everyone gets abnormal. We're all defective. We all got flaws. We're messed up. But the cool part is that God accepts us that way. As is. Not as you want to be or as wish you could be. He's not saying, you know, if you were just a little bit smarter, if you were just a little bit more talented, boy, I could use you. He's saying, as you are, you bring glory when you surrender what you are to me. So I hope you can understand that by the time we're done. So he goes on in that Romans in the same chapter, in chapter 12. And so he says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body, which is the church he's referring to, is Christ's body, which is all of us gathered here together. As we unite, we become Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all bring to each other in his grace. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as he's given you. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If you're a teacher, then teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. If it is giving, then give generously. if God has given you leadership ability, then take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, then do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love other people. Really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. When we look at your piece of the puzzle, it really doesn't make much sense by itself. But you got to trust me on this one. You're all holding a piece from the same puzzle today. Isn't that cool? So what we're going to do for the rest of the service is try to put it together. I don't have that much leadership ability. It just really doesn't make much sense. I mean, it's really even hard to figure out what's going on in this thing. I mean, you got a little speck here and a little curve there and a little dent there, and it's kind of like you. And then, you know, it's like, but what does it mean? And what does it look like when it's done? And how does it fit? And it doesn't make sense. And a lot of people spend a lot of energy and time buying books and doing research and staring at their life, trying to figure out, so what does my life mean? Why does God do this to me? Why do I made this way? Why do I think this way? Why am I good at that? Why am I not good at that? God, why did you put me through that? God, why did you allow this? Why did I grow up that way? Why is my peace like this? And you can stare at it, and you can stare at it, and you can study it, and you can study it, but you're asking and starting from the wrong position and asking the wrong questions. What we're discovering today is that, yeah, you're a piece of an amazing plan. But your life doesn't make sense by itself. You were not created to live life by yourself. And so we're part of a whole bunch of pieces. And so my gifts and my abilities and my strengths and my weaknesses, the holes that are missing, they fit with other people's strengths. And my strengths, where you're missing, they fit where you need me. And we all fit in my experiences and my past and my failures and my successes. They all fit with someone else's around here so that we together can come together and represent and worship God united and bring Him glory and create the masterpiece that He had planned. The Bible says that the church together, when we come together, one day will be presented to Him as a beautiful bride. Full and complete, not lacking anything. And that's what we are to become. That's who we are together, not by ourselves. So I took a step of great challenge and faith, and me and my wife decided to try to work out together at the gym. It's kind of like trying to do wallpaper together when you're married. It's not recommended, but if you have the faith, try it. And the reason why is I've been doing this for quite a while, and she has never gone to a gym before. And so she doesn't, you know, not really excited about this, and she's a little bit afraid. Because for some reason, when she looks at me, she says she doesn't want to look like me. So she's like trusting me, and she's like, hey, I'm coming here, but I need to trust you with what you're doing. I don't know if you, so every time I tell her to do something, the question is, okay, but what is it doing to me? What is it going to do to me? What is that going to look like? I don't want to look like you. I want to look like me. I want to look like a girl. And so don't wreck me. Please don't wreck me. Don't make this part bigger, but make this part smaller. And so she's really concerned about all these things. And so sometimes you wonder, you know, how are we doing as a body? Like, if we're exercising some parts too much, you know, that doesn't work out very well. And if we ignore other parts of the body, then that doesn't work out very well. And if we emphasize certain parts of the body, that might mess things up. And we're supposed to look like a beautiful bride. And sometimes I wonder what the church really looks like. So I scanned you as you came in to find out how we're doing. And so I'm just going to try to download it over there. It's not looking so good. It's looking a little wrecked. And I started looking at that picture, and I thought, you know, that doesn't look like the beautiful bride, maybe, that we're supposed to be. You know, there's a lot of eyes out there who see what needs to be done and very small hands and feet that are trying to do it. And sometimes I wonder if that doesn't represent the church. And we can see lots of need and we can see lots that needs to be done, and yet, you know, there's very few people out there that are really trying to get this thing done. You know, one thing Jesus said about the harvest, he hung out with the people that he called the people that didn't have a relationship with him. They were there, the harvest, and it was ripe and plentiful. He told his disciples, you know, the harvest is amazing, he would say. It's so ready. But he said, there's only one problem with the harvest. It's not the people. It's that there's very few workers out there that are wanting to harvest. And as a church, we all have a different part to play. We all have a different role, and we all have a different piece of the puzzle. But together, we accomplish what we need to accomplish. You know, I learned this from my mom. My parents are actually over here. They should wave. The first time they've been, they're not wanting to wave. Now that I said I didn't want to be a pastor, because I grew up and he was a pastor the whole time. So, but yeah, my mom has a sense of humor. And so I remember when I was a kid trying to, you know, I'd like to learn things. So I'd be baking with her. And, you know, we're trying to bake brownies. And I would see the cocoa and be really pumped. I'd be like, oh, cocoa, can I have some? Please, can I have some? And with a smirk on her face, she's like, absolutely, have a big bite. And I'll, you know that cooking chocolate? That's evil stuff. And she gave me the biggest bite, and I thought I was in for a treat, and I just like, blah. And she just smiles. She's a cruel sense of humor. But by itself, if you've ever baked anything, you'll learn that every ingredient by itself, if you eat it separately, really doesn't taste very good. You know, try some raw egg, or here's some salt, or here's some baking powder. But somehow, when you put it together, when things join and they connect and they get together and they mix it all up, that they create something that's amazing and delicious. And so some of us, you're like, well, I don't know. I feel like I'm just a piece of salt. It's like, oh, but you're so necessary. And I don't know, because I don't feel like I have much to offer, because I'm just this and I'm just that. But together we create something completely new and miraculous, actually. So Paul talked about this at the Corinthian church, and he explained it. And so I want to read this passage to you. It talks about the idea of what the church is supposed to be together. He says the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some are Jews and some are Gentiles and some are slaves and some are free. But when we've been baptized into one body, when we accept Christ and we follow him, and under one spirit, we all share that same spirit. So yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. So if the foot says, hey, I'm not part of the body because I'm not the hand, that does not make it any less part of that body. And if the ear says, hey, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of a body? If the whole body were an eye, then how could you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, then how could you smell anything? See, our bodies have different parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, hey, I don't need you. And the head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and the least important are actually the most necessary. That makes for harmony among its members, so that all the members can care for each other. And so if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, then all the parts can be glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. You know, you take so many parts of your body for granted, right? Until you stub that little toe and you realize, man, that has a role to play. That toe wasn't supposed to be hurt. And it affects your whole body. And so when we, as a body, don't serve, when we sit and we relax and we think, you know what, I'm not needed and I'm not important and I don't, this church is too big and they really don't need me here anyways. You know what happens? The whole body suffers. We suffer. We're not able to become, to put the pieces together that we could glorify God and resemble what the bride of Christ is supposed to look like. We're missing. And I don't know if you've ever, you know, tried to do a puzzle. My youngest son, Ryan, loves puzzles. Ever since he was little. And, you know, he's busy and he likes outside and he's sports and all that stuff too. But if you have a puzzle on the table, he walks by, it's just like, kunk, and he starts with one piece and he can't leave until it's done. And I don't know if you've ever been there and you get near the end and there's a couple pieces missing or one piece missing. You don't stop and say, oh, well, that's no big deal. Oh, well, close enough. It's annoying. You're finding that. You're looking. You're scourging. You're on the floor. You're on your hands and feet looking at it. Where's that piece of puzzle? Just on a side note, don't buy puzzles from garage sales. It just really frustrating. It takes hours and hours to do this, and you get to the end, it's like, duh, the piece is missing. I think God's like that. He's not going to sit around and say, oh, it's okay. Yeah, there's just some pieces missing. Looks good enough. He's searching. Where are the people? Where are the people that are that fit here? Why are they not using? Why are they not being who they're created to be? Why are they not a part of the puzzle? Why are they not making it complete and fulfilled and bringing glory to me? You know, all creation automatically worships God. It's amazing. Book of Romans tells us that too early on in the book. I'm not going to go there, but all creation just cries out and worships God all the time. You can't help it. The mountains cry, the rivers and the valleys and the animals, they're created to worship him just the way they are. Well, there's something unique about us here. We get to choose to worship. We get to choose to surrender. We can worship. See, we're created for worship. You're created for worship. You can't help worship, by the way. You can't help it. You're also created to worship. The difference is you get to choose what to worship. Some of us worship ourselves. Some of us worship career. Some of us worship fame. Some of us worship gain and finances. But we worship. We have something that we worship. But we get to choose to bring glory to God or not. And so we're called to do that, and we long to worship. One of the neat things that God taught me is that when I decided, obviously I decided at some point that I would surrender to this idea of him wanting me to serve in the church. And I found out something, that he wasn't going to call me to something that he hadn't given me abilities to do, that he hadn't given me passion to do and desire to do. In fact, he had created each and every one of us to be fulfilled and to have desires. And so he says, when you became a Christian, so says, when you saved by his grace, you believed in him. And it was a gift of God. You can't take credit for it, okay? It says, because you're God's masterpiece, and he created us anew in Jesus Christ so we could do good things he had planned for us a long time ago. In other words, he saved you. He drew you to himself because he has a plan for you. He had an idea for you, specifically you. You're the only you he's ever made and ever will make. And he's called you to himself to take part of this plan. And this plan was created way back, he says in the Psalm 139, back in your mother's womb. He says he handmade you, he knit you together, he thought about your days, he thought about your life, and he created the way you're wired and the way you think and your passions and your abilities and your gifts and your desires, and he put them all in there. Because he's about a great work. He's about something in this world. And you know what? Puzzle pieces are so hard to figure out looking at one. Can you just imagine, just zoom out and you think, okay, well, this is a puzzle piece of everybody in this room that represent the body of Christ. But then there's God's perspective, which is one puzzle piece of that, but we're just one puzzle piece in Central Alberta. He's got other puzzle pieces all around the world that together all are doing part of his plan. And that's just today. And you step back and you look at all time, and from the beginning of time, he's got all these pieces on the go, and you're part of a scheme plan from the beginning, the very beginning. It's amazing to think about. And so when we stare at ourselves so often, we just can't make sense of it all. It's just far, far too much. What I learned is this. You are designed for a life that's fruitful and a life that's fulfilling. In fact, Jesus said, a life abundant, overflowing, like just the amazing life. That's what he has planned for you. He's not calling you into a life of misery. He's calling you into fulfillment to the greatest, a life where you're just overfilled with that joy that we talked about when we surrender to worship. And fruitfulness. That not only that, he's calling us that when we surrender our life, we'll be fulfilled, but we'll also multiply that joy and be able to give life. Rick Warren, in his book that many of you, I'm sure you heard about it, Purpose Driven Life, a few years ago, he has a quote in there. It says, "What God made me to be determines what he intends for me to do. I will understand the purpose I was created for when I understand the kind of person God created me to be. This is the secret of knowing how I fit into God's overall plan in the world." The amazing thing is, the first line in that book is, "It's not about you." And you know, that's an all-time bestseller of all time next to the Bible. Both books who say to humanity, "It's not about you." So you can't tell me that somewhere along the line that does not resonate with us. Because we've been looking at ourselves for a long time and you don't make sense. It's really hard to find purpose and fulfillment in and of yourself. And we know deep down there's got to be a greater reason for why we're here. And there is, to bring him glory as we unite together. Well, our vision is to give life. And as we're praying through these prayers, our desire is that we'll be able to give life. But I've learned something as well about giving life. You first have to get life to be able to give it. And the church for the last few decades really has struggled with having life to give it to a world that needs it. And we're getting it. And it's exciting that we're getting life, but We need to figure this out. You need to find your spot, your place, and get connected so you can be full and receive from one another, that you can overflow and start pouring out to people around you. You need to get it to give it. This morning I got up early and I went to the drive-thru at Tim Hortons. And when I go through the drive-thru at Tim Hortons, I really just expect to get coffee. That's what you expect to get there, is coffee. And most of the time, that's what you get. You pay for it, you get coffee. But there's the odd time when you're going through life expecting just to get what you paid for, and you get more. You get life. You've ever had that experience where you go to get coffee, and all of a sudden the person working there gives you life? Or you're getting served by somebody in a restaurant, or you're working with somebody, and you're just trying to do a transaction, but you get life from them. Because they're doing the thing that they love to do. They're doing what they're called to do. You can just feel it. You know it about them. They love what they're doing. They love their job. They just are thriving in what they're doing. And somehow when you interact, when you just see them and touch them and interact with them, you just feel life. It's like, oh, I feel better today. I got my coffee and a little bit of life. Thank you. And so in the church, we need to plug people into the right spot. Not just plug people in sporadically. We need you to get life so that you can give life to people around you. So, you know, when we ask for greeters, we do need greeters with a spiritual gift of warmth, you know, with the gift of a smile. So if you're not that, then don't go there, because we need you to enjoy it. And if you're, you know, calling for youth workers, and don't go there if you don't have patience and you don't like kids. Like, we need you to be in the right spot so that it's fulfilling for you, and so you can be fruitful so we can give life to other people. You know, you've all been to churches probably where you've seen people on stage that don't have joy, and they're singing "The Joy of the Lord is my strength." And you're going like, I'm not getting it from you. You need to do what you love. If you're not loving what you do, get down. And so we need to be in the right spot, because God has knitted you and wired you in such a way that when you fit there, when you serve as you are, as is, and it feels, this is my spot, you will be fulfilled, you'll be fruitful, and you will give life to other people. He has put you together. It's amazing. He's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you passions. That not everyone has the same passion as you. I always love that. And people come up to me and say, God, you know, so passionate about this, and you need to be passionate about that too, Pastor. And I say, well, that's not my passion. But it's got to be. It's everything. And I go, well, that's yours. That's awesome. I'm passionate about this, and you're passionate about that, and together we make sense because we complete something. Some of you have all kinds of abilities. And so the Bible says, okay, if you've got abilities, then each one of you should use whatever gift he has to serve others faithfully, a ministering God's grace in its various forms. Don't compartmentalize your life. God wants to take what you're good at, what you can do naturally, and bless other people around you. If you know how to teach, then you can teach for God. If you know how to lead, then lead for God. If you know how to serve, you know how to welcome. If you know how to make coffee for God. We need coffee people Sunday nights. We need cleaners. If you got arms and know how, do it for God. You have an ability, then offer it, surrender it, and say, God, why did you give me this ability? Why am I good at golf? God says, because I want you to serve me with it. Why not? Sometimes in the church, what we tend to do is this. We tend to say, this is all the things a church should do. These programs. Now, all of you people, sacrificially jump in. Make it work hard, harder, harder. And you're tired, and you're not fulfilled, and you're not happy, and you're like, why am I here? I'm here, oh yeah, guilt, right, guilt, that's why I'm here. Because they said we had to clean the church or we're going to have to spend $12,000. Now there's a time and place to do that. If a kid falls over next to me and I say, I don't have any gifts or passion to serve children, so I'm sorry. I mean, we're not saying that. But we're saying fundamentally, you need to be plugged in where God has wired you. Because you want to enjoy and be fruitful in life and get fulfilled and then give it life to other people. And that's just so important. I can't say it enough. Your personality is a little odd. Everyone's is. And there's a reason for it. God has made some of you certain ways, and it's important. And I've had people who, you know, and this is not to tell people not to do this, so just be careful, I'm taking a risk, okay? You know, they'll connect with people in the foyer. And they're warm people. And they find people who need to connect. And maybe you've been out there by yourself and someone's come up to you. And then they'll take them to me, and I'm not that warm. And they'll be like, he's the pastor of connecting, so connect. And I'm like, you just did. You just did connect. That was awesome. Good job. Keep going. Like, you have the gift of this. I don't. I have the gift of other things. I know it's a title, and so we get messed up with that. You know what? Stu is a pastor's pastor. I don't have the gift of pastoring. I don't. I have the position of a pastor, because that's all we know how to title people here in churches, but I don't have that gift. Stu is going to die on us if he's the only pastor in this church. People out there, you have gifts of pastoring. You don't need a position and you don't need a paycheck. You just need to know that you have that so you can start shepherding and helping people in times and listening to them and counseling them. There's people out there, you have gifts of pastoring and you need to help Stu. I didn't say that in the other service. Every service can be unique today. It's great. That's just the truth. We can't look at it. Otherwise, we become this deformed picture where we have a big eyeball and a couple little arms and legs sticking out, and we're not stepping up because we think, oh, that's just another position that I don't have. We need to release our people. Another hard part about this is that really it says God helps us in our trouble, so we're able to help others with all kinds of troubles using the same help that we ourselves receive from God. In other words, those painful times that you've been through, those stressful times that you've been through, those troubles that you've been through, God knew about them too. And when you surrender them to Him, He wants to use them too. And those are the things where, like, you know what? I want to erase that. You know, that little divot in my life where I blew it or so-and-so messed me up, and that little part of my life that I don't want that nook. That's a glitch. God doesn't have any part of that. You're right. He didn't probably do that, but He says, I know that's part of you, and it fits. So the other verse says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. I want you to know that not all things are good. Not all things that you've been through are good. That's not what that is saying. It's saying that if you surrender it to God, you say, God, man, I blew it here in my life. God, you know what? This person really wrecked me here. God, I went through this and I shouldn't have went through that. That was wrong. God says, yeah, you surrender it to me though, and I can take all things and turn it to good. I can put the pieces together and I can start serving and using you to minister to other people and bring healing to others the way that you've been healed. And so the hard part is some of the very things in our life that we wish weren't even there, God says, that's what I want to use. You know why He wants to use that? Because every time God found people that He wanted to represent Himself in the Bible, it was flawed, defective people who were hurt and crushed and couldn't hide their as-is tag. They weren't people that they could lift up themselves and say, look what I'm able to do. It was everybody who said, I'm broken and I don't think I can do anything. God said, perfect, I can use that kind of person because you're going to give me glory. And I know you're not going to take it for yourself. And so throughout the Bible, God's always found people who were down and out and probably shouldn't have been used and said, I'm going to use you. Just surrender it to me. Well, when Jesus was finishing His ministry, a lot of the disciples were trying to figure out what this kingdom thing was going to look like. What was it going to be like to face the Father? What was it going to be like to one day be with Him in paradise? And so Jesus was telling them a lot of things, and He was comparing the kingdom to a lot of things. And there's a parable that we don't have time to go through, but I want you to, you can write it down if you want. I want you to look at it later. I'm going to give you a brief overview of it. He said to His disciples aside, and He said, the kingdom of God it kind of looks like this. It's kind of like the master, and He's going to go away on a trip. And so He calls His servants, and He says, you know what, I'm going to go away for a while, but I want you to look after things here. And so He says, the kingdom of God is kind of like, you know, this master who invested in this guy five abilities and talents. And then he said to this other guy, I'm going to give you two abilities and talents. And this other guy, I'm going to give you one, and I'm going to go away for a while and see what happens. And He says, the kingdom of God is like that. And then one day, the master's going to come back. And he's gonna pull those people aside, and He's going to say, so what happened with your ability? What happened with your talent? What happened with my investment in you? Tell me what happened. In the parable, the one with five, he took it and he used it and he was fruitful and it multiplied. And the master said, well done. Come and share my everything I have, my kingdom. And the one with two, he said, what did you do? And he said, oh, I went and I used it and I was fruitful. And it multiplied. He said, well done, come. And so he went to the person with one talent, and they did what a lot of people with one talent sometimes do, and they go, well, you know, I'm not as good as those guys because you gave me one. So I, you know, didn't know what to do because I wasn't going to be as good as them. So I just kind of kept it, and here it is. You know, I kept it safe for you. I didn't lose it, but I didn't use it. And the reason why I don't even want to read it to you, it's harsh. And the master says, that's wicked. That's lazy. What were you thinking? I invested in you. I invested in you. Why didn't you use it? Well, he says, like, at least you could have got some interest or something. You didn't do anything with it? No, I was just, you know, I didn't really do anything with it. You know one thing that parable teaches us, though? God is never going to come to you and say, so why didn't you have more like that person? Why weren't you more like Dan? Or why weren't you more like Sean? Or why weren't you more like Jeff? Or why weren't you more like your neighbor? Why weren't you more like that? Like, why didn't you do that? He just looks at what he's given us and he says, what did you do with you? At the end, we face our master, and the only question he's going to ask is, so what did you do with what I gave you? Why weren't you more like you? He's never going to compare you to someone else and someone else's abilities and someone else's talents and someone else's life. He just wants to know what you're going to do with you. This fall, we're going to do some different stuff. And I was called in to try to help connect us together as a body. That's why I want to talk about this, why I talked about last week about getting along with each other and reconciliation, all that's very important. And I just believe that God is calling us to start to become his body. And so I could have said, you know what, I think we should just have a small group program. And then I'm going to say, okay, this is what a small group looks like, and try to fit you all into that and say, now I want, please, please, please serve and please lead this way. This is what it looks like. This is how they function. This is, and God just said no. He says, I want different kinds. I want people to do what they love to do. I want people to use what they're given. I want people to connect with each other over passions. I want them to be fulfilled. I want them to be fruitful. I want them to be excited about this. I want them to enjoy being with people. I want them to do the things that I've gifted them to do. And so we're doing something different. We're saying, no, I guess there's all different kinds of groups, and hopefully they're going to fit within four categories, and we're going to have groups that are growth groups and those that are passionate about growing deeper in their relationship with God and creating studies and journeying together and challenging each other how to get serious about their faith and how to grow. Then there's people out here in right now who are passionate, like, that's me, I'm wired, I want to learn, and I want to grow that way, and I want accountability, and that's the kind of group I want. And we're going to ask you to step up and say, I'll facilitate that kind of group, and whoever wants to journey with me can journey with me. I don't know what that means. I'm just willing to step up and do that, because that's what I love to do. I would love to be in a group like that. There's other people who say, you know, I just want to connect with people. I've been coming here. I don't know anybody. I love to get to know people. And I want to get to know people. But I also love to bake cookies. So I guess maybe I can bake cookies while I get to know people. And I'm like, awesome. Bake cookies and get to know people. There's a group. And people are like, oh, what about golfing? Golfing's good. What about motorbiking? Motorbiking's good. What about sports? And it's like, yeah, God, if he's passionate about you, if he's calling you to lead that, and he's giving you those abilities and strengths, then you know what? He's calling you to do those things in community. And so we're just kind of getting crazy, and we're saying, absolutely, let's try it. Let's see what God will do with people stepping up saying, I'm going to offer my talents and my passions, and I want to see what God can do through relationships while we're doing it together. And so we're looking for service groups. People are like passionate about serving downtown. Maybe they're like, you know what I'm passionate about? I'm passionate about working in the women's shelter, and I'm passionate about helping those kids. And so I'm gonna step up and say, I'll facilitate that. And anyone who wants to join me can come join me. There's a group. And so we're doing service groups, and maybe it's hope groups, and you've been through a real hard time in life, and it's like, here's what I went through, and I'm offering that to God, and I feel God's calling me to take my pain and bring other people through healing that I've received from him. I'm going to offer that back to God. God's calling me to lead a group through divorce or through losing a loved one or whatever it is. We're just having different types. And so we're really counting on people saying, I want to do that. I feel God's calling me to do that. Not every one of you is going to do that. But we need a lot of you to do that. And the rest of you are going to join with them and get to know each other and connect and learn to love one another as you do the things you love. So in your bulletin, there's an insert in there, by the way. Coincidence. And if God is calling you to lead something like that, then I just need to know who you are. We don't need to know the details. We don't need to hammer it all. We'll figure that out in the next month. We'll call you. We'll figure it out. And I just need to know what kind of group that God calls you to. I believe some people are called to discipleship and to growth, and some people are called to serve. More people are called to connect with people. Some people are called to give hope and pastoral counsel. And prayer fits in there. Exciting stuff. We're looking for prayer groups meeting throughout the week. People have said, I'm called to lead people through prayer. And we're only asking to do this for 12 weeks. So all you got to commit to. I'll do this for 12 weeks. I'll lead people on this journey. Or I'll commit to attend one of those and go on this journey. So we got all kinds of ideas, but the thing is, the ideas don't matter. I can sit here and tell you great ideas all day long of different kinds of groups. I got aerobic instructors who are like, I can use my ability and I can call people, whoever wants to do aerobics, and we'll get to know each other and love Jesus and do community and life together for 12 weeks. Why not? There's a zillion different ways, but none of that matters from up here. What matters is, what is God calling you to do? Because I believe when we start using all of these things and these pieces together, and we start doing it together and putting our puzzle pieces, then we're going to give life, and people are going to be drawn in and saying, I can't believe you guys love Jesus and can have fun too. We're excited. Maybe you've been listening to all this and you're like, wow, like I just didn't realize that I have a puzzle piece at all. I didn't know I have gifts and abilities that God wants to use. I don't even know what that means. What's a spiritual gift? Or I don't understand. Maybe, how could God use that experience? And so if you're in that boat today, there's a different kind of response. You can put your name and information on that same form, but just check off the box at the bottom that says, okay, I'm going to go to this class. And when I started speaking this, going to speak this topic, I was like, you know, some people are going to need more than this. And so I said, fine, I'll teach a class on it for a few hours, and we'll talk about what's a spiritual gift and how do you know what yours is and what does your personality have to do and your abilities and your experiences. And so we're going to go through a class. And if you want to go to that, you just check off that box on the bottom and say, yeah, I'm in. And he'll give you lunch, and we're going to meet on August 14th, and we'll go through that together. And it'll just help you start to see how God has shaped you to live life with people. We're excited for what God is calling us to do as a church. And we really believe God is calling people into his body. But we need to begin serving. We need to find our place. We need to plug in. And unfortunately, Crossroads is kind of one of those places where a lot of people can kind of come here who have been to church before and thought, I can come to Crossroads and I can hide there. And I don't have to do anything. And we're saying to you, not if you want to be fruitful and fulfilled. Not if you want to give life, you can. You're not called for an individual relationship with God. It doesn't work. You're built to be connected with other people. So let's connect. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your body. Wow. That you would choose to use people to bring you glory in the world. Heavenly Father, sometimes we look at our life and it just doesn't make sense. We're confused about what you were doing when you made us, actually. Heavenly Father, would you give us eyes? Would you give your people dreams? Dream about how they can use a talent they have or an ability they have or a skill they have to bless others? Heavenly Father, we don't want to create programs just to do them. We want to be used by you to bless other people. Would you release your people to serve? Heavenly Father, we look forward to how you're going to give life through us. In Jesus' name, amen.